Hi, my name is Mandy Jackson Beverly, and I'm a bibliophile. Welcome to the Bookshop Podcast. Each week, I present interviews with independent bookshop owners from around the globe, authors, and specialists in subjects dear to my heart, the environment and social justice. To help the show reach more people, please share it with friends and family and on social media. And remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast. You're listening to episode 206. Petrarch's Bookshop has existed in Launceston, Tasmania as a general bookshop since 1985, providing exceptional customer service across an ever-growing range of books. Although it has been owned and operated by Peter and Rhonda Durkin for most of that time, Marcus Durkin has joined his parents in the business and is now the operational manager of the shop. The growth of the business has been based on one major deal: customer service. Petrarch stocks a wide range of book categories with special emphasis on Tasmaniana, that's a tricky word to say, gardening, cooking, architecture, health, art, and many more. Their friendly staff are all avid readers and are happy to recommend a novel, whether it be a new release or a classic from yesteryear. Their fiction categories include crime, fantasy, historical, and Australiana, as well as best-selling titles and a vast selection of children's books. Hi, Andy, and welcome to the show. It's great to have you here, all the way from my home state of Tasmania in Australia and in the town where most of my family live, in Launceston. So hi to everyone in Launceston.
Thank you, and I'm really pleased to be here today. It's quite exciting. Podcasts are something that's new to me, so I've never done or been interviewed on a podcast before.
Well, let's have fun and begin with learning about the history of Petrarch's Bookshop and your place in it.
Okay, so firstly, our name, Petrarch. Francesco Petrarca, he was an Italian poet back in Renaissance era, and he wrote a poem about books being his friends. And that is where our name comes from. So we have been Petrarch's since the bookstore was opened by my father-in-law and mother-in-law nearly 38 years ago now, which is a good innings, and we plan on being here for five more. So it's a tiny little paperback store and has grown and grown, and we're now probably a mid-sized bookshop. We do everything from fiction to non-fiction to children's to cooking to trout books to tractors. And my lovely father-in-law is very retired now, and my mother-in-law comes in occasionally and does the books, but we are still very much family-owned and operated. So I have the lovely opportunity to work with both my father-in-law, my mother-in-law, and my husband.
Well, sometimes working with family members can have its ups and downs, let's say that. How is it for you?
I always like to say that I'm their favourite child, so it's fine.
That was a good answer. Now, Tasmania has been and still is home to many excellent writers, from Nan Chauncey, Lucy Frost, Richard Flanagan, James Dryburgh, Pete Hay, and Prue Batten, to name a few. Can you share the names of other popular contemporary Tasmanian writers, especially those residing in northern Tasmania?
Well, to top the list, are we ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Robbie Arnott, and this is his most recent release, which is Limberlost. Limberlost is a beautiful story based around Robbie's grandfather's life, living on a farm out the back of Beaconsfield, which, for those not aware, Beaconsfield's about a 30-minute drive out of Launceston in Tasmania. It is mainly a farming area, and the story of Limberlost is about Ned as a 10-year-old boy. His older brothers have gone off to war. His dad is still suffering a bit of PTSD. His mother is no longer in the picture, and Ned desperately wants to contribute to the family, and he decides to go out and shoot some rabbits. So Robbie is only in his 30s, and I don't know if he's quite 30 yet, actually, but he is currently longlisted for the Miles Franklin Award. We have all of our fingers crossed for Robbie.
Well, that's exciting.
So that is pretty exciting. This is his third book, so he's got two others as well. So he's going great, great guns. This one, this is Meg Bignall. Meg Bignall is also Tasmanian. The Angry Women's Choir is also her third release. This one is set down in West Moona. It is about a bunch of women who get together once a week to sing out their feelings in the Angry Women's Choir. They are a very eclectic bunch. They love meeting and sharing their lives with each other. We also have a lot of self-published non-fiction kind of Tasmanian history books. So I don't know if anywhere else in the world is like this, but Tasmania loves to write about themselves, and we love to read about ourselves. This one's a particularly interesting one, The Last Hermit. This is the story of Jackie Stevens. He is a hermit living in Queenstown. He's still currently there. He lives a very isolated life, and this is his story. Really interesting stuff, and that's been a good seller of ours as well.
Did he write the book?
No, Jeff Harwood wrote it. Jeff got to know him through a long-term kind of connection, and he wanted to make sure that the story got told. So, yeah, that's a great, great story. I don't know about Tasmania, but we seem to collect lots of lovely, lovely people and interesting lifestyles, and we love reading about ourselves and our history and our locations. This one is another Tasmanian author, Catherine Johnson. She's one of my favourites. This is one that I love to hand sell. This is around the Mole Creek area, and there's lots of underground caves in the Mole Creek area. And these are two young boys that go into a cave and only one comes back out.
Oh, I love the Mole Creek caves, but it brings back a memory. When I was a little girl, I was on a school trip and I broke my arm trying to jump across slippery rocks on the little creek right outside of the entrance to the Mole Creek caves. That was the first of many breaks I remember. Anyway, keep going. Do you have a few more for us?
So this one is Kyle Perry. Kyle Perry is also an up and coming. He's in his 30s as well. He writes crime fiction. His first novel was The Bluffs, and this one is The Deep. The Deep is set down in Eagle Hawk Neck. It's three brothers who run a abalone business, which is a front for a drug business. It's the family business, and the family are very dysfunctional, and we get to know them and their quirks as we go along with the story. So this one is what we like to call a bit of faction. This isn't a Tasmanian author, but Kate Legg wrote this lovely book. She is a journalist, and this was her first novel, I believe. And this is the story of Gustav Weindorfer and his wife, who turned Cradle Mountain into a national park.
Oh, I'm sure that's good. There's so much history about that area. Let's do one more.
This is The Last Lighthouse Keeper. This is by John Cook, who was the last lighthouse keeper in Tasmania, so the last manned lighthouse keeper, and his story. So Tasmania as an island state has a bunch of lighthouses scattered around it. These were all manned until more recently, where they became electronic.
Well, thank you. You have given us a fabulous selection of books by Tasmanian authors and Tasmanian culture. Let's go from books to reading. Can you tell us about Tasmania Reads, and is Petrarch's Bookshop involved with this celebration?
So we love to be involved. Last year, Tasmania Reads put out a little publication that they give to babies that were born in that year. So every baby that was born in that year in Tasmania got that specific publication, and that was something that we helped to deliver. So parents would come in and say, I've had a baby born in this year, and we'd hand over the book. I believe the Tasmania Reads book is actually Robbie Arnott's Limber Lost. So this year we're all being encouraged to read that title. We love being involved in Tasmania Reads. We go along to the launch. It's something that encourages literacy. Last year we went along to the announcement of, they had a beautiful little writing competition for children, and we went along to the announcement of the winners for those, which was lovely meeting children that are so engaged in literacy.
That's wonderful. And is Tasmania Reads a festival?
It's not a festival per se. It's run by the library here, and government sponsored. And it is encouraging all Tasmanians to read. So lots of free events through the libraries and lots of events that pop up in schools.
I love hearing about how bookshops reach out into the communities. You don't get that from an algorithm online. You get that from building relationships. I think that's wonderful. How best would you describe the reading community in Launceston?
we've been around for 38 years now, so it's definitely for us multi-generational. So the people that came in and got books from my father-in-law, now their daughters come in and their granddaughters come in, and it's very multi-generational. So it is great to see a child walk into our bookshop and they go straight off that way into the children's section, and they know exactly where they're off to and what they're after. There is a big Tasmanian readership. Tasmanians love reading about Tasmania, whether that's fiction or non-fiction. So we've had some great non-fiction reads recently. There's been the Tassie Properties. There's been Undiscovered Tasmania, which is like a little tour kind of guide around Tasmania in the kind of unknown locations. There's been lots of brilliant, brilliant things. There was a beautiful big format Birds of Tasmania book that just came out. It was a very limited print run and it sold out within the week.
That's interesting. I remember my parents collecting books on birds, and they were large books. Each page showed exquisitely painted bird specimens. They were just gorgeous. And there were also collections of National Heritage properties that were listed around the state and within other states in Australia. I'm sure they're worth quite a bit of money now, but they were absolutely beautifully done. Now, I'd just like to go into the diversity a little bit more. If you could expand on that, please, of the diversity and ethnicity of the population in Tasmania, specifically up where you are in northern Tasmania, and how this has grown over the years.
I think it has grown a little. I think COVID has helped Tasmania in terms of people seeing it as a livable state. I think families have noticed being geographically close to your work and your school and cutting down on commutes and having a lower property price are quite an attractive thing. Being able to drive to snow or the beach within an hour of each other is quite an amazing opportunity. We have lots of geographically diverse things to look at, if that makes sense. So you can go to the bush, or you can go to the beach, or you can go to the snow, and those things are all not far away from each other.
And because of the shift in these demographics, are you buying more books written by authors from other countries, particularly for the children coming in from other cultures?
I just think children's books are doing it better. I think all children's books are so much better at being much more representative. It is a focus of children's publishing these days. You know, even your traditional authors these days have that consideration when they're writing. Although there are specific titles, you know, I think children's literature in general are much more representative.
I've spoken with a couple of bookshops in southern Tasmania, and they were explaining that because of the people coming in from different countries, their book buying has definitely changed.
Yeah, as with all bookshops, Japanese literature is definitely taking off. Graphic books are definitely taking off with younger people that aren't maybe as literate or just like a graphic novel. We definitely have people from a multicultural background. There was a lovely gentleman in the other day. His English was very limited, but he still came in to engage in a bookshop, and he was after a map. And that was something that we were able to source and locate for him. The bookshop is a welcoming place for everybody, and everybody can come in and find what they need.
Well, that's good to hear. While I was researching the demographics and the reading community and education in Launceston, I came across an ABC News article by Fiona Blackwood titled, "Tasmanian Angry Farmer Looks to Boost Literacy Levels After Education System Disillusionment." And the article focused on dyslexia. However, the key points noted were alarming, and it came from a 2012 PECD study published by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, and it was a report into adult literacy, and it found 40 to 50% of Australians aged between 15 and 74 are functionally illiterate. Another headline from The Advocate, written by Matt Maloney and updated in 2021, stated almost one in two Tasmanians of working age are functionally illiterate. These figures really sadden me. What are your thoughts on why illiteracy is so high in Tasmania and what is being done to support students? And as a bookseller, how has this affected you?
As a bookseller, no, we would like to think that we can help everybody to a book that is interesting to them, that helps them engage. As a parent, I have three children in the schooling system here in Tasmania. They're all in primary school, so they're all under 12 and over 5. And my children are definitely engaged readers, so it's not an issue that I have personally, but I can definitely say that I have come across people that are struggling to help their children to read or help their children engage in reading. And that's something that we deal with often. So we'll have a parent or a grandparent come in and go, right, my child's interested in this, this, or this, but they don't really love reading. Is there something that you could suggest, or is there something that might engage them to read? And the thing I say to them all the time, and I'm sure he will not be upset at me mentioning this, but my husband grew up in a bookshop. He read as a small child. His parents obviously read to him and he read. But as a teenager, he had absolutely no interest in reading a book. He didn't pick up a book until he was about 14 or 15. And he picked up the Tomorrow When the War Began series by John Marston. And that was the spark that reignited his reading journey. So often children just need to find something that sparks their reading journey, something that they're interested in. It's not often what you want them to read, but reading is reading. That would be my take on it.
Yeah, it's very difficult when you have a high unemployment rate, cuts in education, you have people working 2 and 3 and 4 jobs just to try to put food on the table for their children and to pay rent. And because parents or caretakers are overwhelmed, they don't have the energy or the time to help children with homework and to nurture their reading skills. When I was a little girl growing up in Launceston, the library was everything to myself, my family, and to my friends. And luckily, Launceston has a beautiful library. I remember they redid it when I was a teenager. But all of the bookshops I've spoken to worldwide are community-driven, and they help supply books to schools, and many of their financially stable customers will donate money that goes into a holiday fund, which means the bookshop owner can buy books as gifts for these children. Earlier, you spoke about vouchers that you give to children to buy books. Can you expand on that, please?
Absolutely. That's more of a school-based program. So we have lots of schools that come to us and get vouchers. We assist schools. Lots of the schools have programs where they encourage a certain amount of nights of reading. And if their students get to those amounts of nights of reading, they will give them a gift voucher to come and spend at the bookshop to continue to encourage that journey. We are good friends with our library here as well. We often go around there and help with some events and things. The library was where I spent a lot of my childhood as well, and I was horrified when I met my husband and he had not had a library card as a child or used it. And I thought, what? How did you get books? And now I completely understand, because, you know, we have a bookshop at our disposal.
What a wonderful childhood.
Absolutely. But I definitely lived in a library, and that was something that my grandparents fostered for me. So we do lots of things. We do lots of events and readings and that type of activity, which are free events. I am off to a preschool as part of Children's Book Week to read to some little people. I'm off to able to do a reading there as well. I think anything we can do to promote reading is fun.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Reading does need to be fun. And while I'm all for reading the classics with children in high school, I think the reading lists in high schools may need to be revised.
We do days where we provide school book novels. And I must say that the reading list is much better than when I was going through school. It would be things that I would definitely be more engaged with now. Those general English subjects of having a much more diversified and engaged novel or books on their syllabus.
Well, that's good to hear. In recent years, Launceston has seen independent bookshop closures, one being the staple when I was growing up, which was Birchall's. Birchall's was a huge store, and it sold books, toys, art supplies, the little cars that you could paint. cake decorating supplies. It was just fantastic. It opened in 1844 and closed, I believe, in 2017. And there was also the Mary Fisher Bookshop, and they were also a publisher. I think they closed in the 70s. What do you think was the main cause of these closures? Do you think it was economic hardship, a dwindling reading community? I'd like to hear your thoughts.
I think most regional cities will say that regional cities tend to be able to support one bookshop or two smaller bookshops. But once it kind of gets above that, there's obviously a certain limit. We are a business where we want to make profits. So, you know, you need to be turning over stock so that you do make those profits. And I think we have a limited population that are going to come into a bookshop. We are very blessed that we're still here, and we'd like to think that we've done the right things to be here. But, you know, if it's just luck, then it's just luck. But we work very hard to do what we do and make sure that we are engaged with our community. Angus and Robinson have gone. Birchall's have gone. Mary Fisher went a long time ago. There was an educational bookshop called Stories that are no longer with us. There has been a little bookshop pop up just down the way, and they are very differently focused to what we do. And I think that kind of diversity in bookshops helps. When Birchall's were open, we had a very, very limited graphic novel section because that's what Birchall's did. Whereas now some of our sections, such as graphic novels, have had to be much bigger to meet the need and demand in our city.
And in areas where there are multiple bookshops, it seems that bookshops tend to open under a specialty name. For instance, map books, cooking, nonfiction, fiction. And quite often the booksellers tell me that they actually really help each other and support each other in these areas, which I really love. I think that's what bookshops are all about.
Yeah.
Or they diversify. They might open a bookshop and a coffee shop or bring toys into their children's bookshop area.
I couldn't cheat on my coffee shop across the road.
Oh gosh, no, don't do that. Now, I'm from Tasmania, and I was thinking that between you and I, we could talk about must-see attractions of Launceston and the surrounding area for visitors to experience. Where to get a tasty vegetarian meal, a great latte, museums and art galleries, and of course, the local hiking trails. Why don't you go first?
Okay, so if you've never been to Launceston, Tasmania before, some of my must-dos. Stay in the city. It's about a 15-minute walk, 20-minute walk up to the Cataract Gorge. The Cataract Gorge is a beautifully formed kind of lake area, and in summer it's amazing. It's got a standalone pool at the side of it. It's all free to use. There's also a single span chairlift that is at a cost that you can go on. It is just a beautiful kind of garden outside space, natural beauty. And there's peacocks, and we love some peacocks. The other thing to do if you are staying in Launceston, Tasmania, we have some monkeys in our city park. Our monkeys were a present from our sister city in Japan, and they have a beautiful enclosure in our city park, which is nearly 100 years old, the city park, not the enclosure. We have some beautiful museums here as well. We've actually got two kind of campuses of our museums. So we've got an art gallery, which is based down by the river. And then we've got the museum, which is much more interactive, and that's built on the old railway site. So a lot of the back buildings have been preserved with all the old railway workshops, which are quite cool as well.
That's where the art department is in the north for the University of Tasmania, right?
Yeah, they're kind of half there at the moment.
When I went to university, the campus was out in Newnham. Is it still there, or is everything kind of moving?
No, they do still have the campus out there, but it's pretty much coming in as they build the new buildings at Inverness. Hobart campus is quite the same. So they were located at Sandy Bay, and they're trying to move into the city as well.
Okay, that makes sense. Also, I do want to mention that Launceston has a really strong art community. My sister, Susie Shaw, is a wonderful painter, and she is a member of and very much involved with the Launceston Art Society. I get quite envious of all the classes she's able to do there. It's fantastic. She's always in the studio painting. As you mentioned earlier, there's a great writing community in the north. And Tasmania has become a food destination.
Oh, we love our food. So we've just been named the Gastronomy City, I think it is. And we love food and we love sharing our food. Did you know we grow wasabi?
I did not know that. However, I just watched a documentary on how wasabi is grown.
Yes, it's one of our big exports. But yes, there's a beautiful little wasabi farm run by people here in town, along with, you know, all your normal things like apple and milk and cheese and wine and gin. We love all those things. Craft beer. We're into it all at the moment and we love it.
That's great to know. I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Tasmania's fabulous hiking experiences. One can go skiing up on Ben Lomond, incredible hiking in Cradle Mountain, wonderful beaches, cold water, but fabulous beaches. It's just an incredibly stunning and extraordinarily beautiful state. And I've always felt the best way to see it is on foot.
Another big tourism thing at the moment is mountain biking. It's not my thing at all, but mountain biking has really taken off in Tasmania. And we have some massive trails out at Derby, which is not too far away from Launceston. And they are world class and they're attracting a great tourism feature.
Okay, Andy, let's talk about books. You mentioned earlier a couple of your favorite books to hand sell, but are there any others that you really enjoy putting into people's hands?
Oh, I love a story. I love escaping into a story and I love a strong female character. So that's what I personally love and that's what I personally like to sell. I also really love to make sure that I'm across lots of Australian debut fiction and lots of Tasmanian debut fiction. So I will often give somebody new a go. And that's just, I want to see what's out there. And as new authors, it's really hard to break into the market, and having somebody in a bookshop that goes, I've read this and it's great and you should absolutely read it. And so that's what I like to do. So I've just read Lenny Marks Gets Away with Murder by Karen Maine. Lenny Marks can't remember that she possibly could have murdered somebody. And she's a quirky character who's absolutely stuck in her normal day routine. And her foster mother, she's now 30. So Lenny's now 30, tells her that she needs to step out of her routine and get a life. And as she does this, Lenny may come across the memories of her youth that were challenging.
And I noticed on Petrarch's website that you and I have a book in common that we both adore, and it's Gail Honeyman's Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine.
Absolutely. Oh, I've actually started hand-selling Lenny Marks for people that love Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine. So Eleanor Oliphant came across my desk as a proof copy before it was released, and I clearly remember taking it to my shack, so my beach house, which is not mine, it's my in-laws, but and I was sitting there and it was a miserable weekend in the middle of winter, and I just remember sitting there and one minute I'm laughing and the next minute I'm crying, and you know, everybody must take sliced cheese to people in hospital. As a debut novel, it is very rare to read something and go, this, everybody just needs to read this.
Yeah, Eleanor is a wonderful book. And Andy, what are you currently reading?
I have just started Secrets of the Huon Wren, which is by a local author called Claire Van Ryn. It's not out yet. It's out in about a month's time, and I've got an event coming up with her, so I've just started reading that.
You and I are probably similar in that we have a stack of books in our TBR, our to-be-read pile. I think I had about 24. I've got it down to 14, I think, now. But it just keeps growing. Every day in the mail, another book arrives. But I don't want to stop because I love hearing new voices and I'm interested in what established writers are working on. So, yeah, you just can't say no to any of them. It's exciting.
I absolutely have a pile beside my bed and it starts at the floor and it's probably up to about here now. And I'm fast reader. So I can read quickly. But Oh, I love reading. My children probably don't give me as much time to read as I used to have.
Well, trust me, enjoy everything while they're young. Eventually you'll find time to read again. Andy, thank you so much for being a guest on the Bookshop podcast and taking time out of your busy day to chat with me about books and Launceston, Tasmania. It's been really fun catching up about all things Tasmania. And I hope you enjoyed being on your first podcast.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it. I've done my first podcast, so I'll tick that off the list.
You've been listening to my conversation with Andy Durkin, co-owner of Petrarch's Bookshop in Launceston, Tasmania, Australia. To find out more about the Bookshop podcast, go to thebookshoppodcast.com and make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to the show. You can also follow me at Mandy Jackson Beverly on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and on YouTube at The Bookshop Podcast. If you have a favorite indie bookshop that you'd like to suggest we have on the podcast, I'd love to hear from you via the contact form at thebookshoppodcast.com. The Bookshop Podcast is written and produced by me, Mandy Jackson Beverly. Theme music provided by Brian Beverly, executive assistant to Mandy, Adrian Otterhan, and graphic design by Francis Farala. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.